Today on The Breakdown, boy, oh boy, do we have a hand for you. We have a hand that Grant and I just watched, and we don't know what happened. I mean, we know what happened, but we don't know what happened. You see what I'm saying? Like, we're not sure what really happened or not with this hand. We don't know if these are value bets or bluffs, but maybe whichever one it is really good. Maybe. We don't know yet. Opinions have not been set in stone. And there's probably going to be some name calling, some arguments, some hurtful things said and thought and felt. Probably. Grant will be sad. I will be glad. And we will all share this moment together on The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Hey. All right, kumbaya. Sharing a moment. I can't wait to share a moment with everybody.
With everybody?
Well, that's you said lot. We will all share this moment together. Who were you excluding when you said that? If you don't mean everybody, name them.
Well,
are you going to name subsets of the population or people?
Holding off on naming subsets of the population, but I was thinking that.
Yeah. So you all know which subsets Jonathan's thinking of, right. Of course, because of his prejudice.
Oh, man. This is all going to be used against me at some point in the future. But bring it on!
Well, because you didn't name any particular subset.
It doesn't matter. It's still clear that there's some subsets. All right, I'll just say it. I still hate the Italians, and I still hate the Australians, and people from either of the Antarcticas can jump off a cliff.
Either Antarctica?
Yeah.
You know there's one Antarctica.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But there's the two poles, the South and the North
Pole. There are two poles. That's
so it's the same idea.
Same idea, yeah.
Come on. When I say the two Antarcticas, everyone knows that I mean the North and the South Pole.
Everybody,
not just the South
everybody
Pole.
Everybody simultaneously knows what you mean and also downgrades your intelligence a little bit.
I think they should upgrade it because I'm taking an idea and I'm expanding on it. Do
right.
you see?
That's all you got to do. That's called scientific research. Mm. That's what you just did.
You know,
what about Minnesota?
Nah, I'm fine with them.
Okay.
Josh Arieh recently tweeted saying he wanted to listen to a new podcast, like an analytical poker podcast, asking his followers who he should listen to. And a bunch of his followers mentioned us. We see this because when they go at two poker guys, it shows up on our Twitter feed, so we got to see that. And all I could think of was when I saw this, like, what if he actually were to listen to one of our pods and, you know, the first 12 minutes, I mean, is he ever going to make it to any of the poker analysis?
Well, if he was a little bit more paying attention than you might think and looked at the description of the podcast, he would see that the analysis starts at X time.
But is that how it works when you're first trying something out? Do you really look at the description in the podcast?
Not usually.
No, you just start it and see what you think after 30 seconds. So I feel like we may have had Josh Arieh and then we may have lost Josh Arieh.
That seems like a likely scenario.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm okay with losing that. But hey, if he's still listening because he tried it and he likes it, welcome to the fold.
Welcome, Golfer Josh. That's his Twitter handle.
That's a sick handle.
Remember when he finished third in the main event that time?
I do.
And he told David Williams to bust this motherfucker.
I don't remember that, but that's interesting.
That's what he said about Greg Raymer.
Greg Raymer. Not liked by Josh Arieh.
I mean, just for that moment.
Yeah.
I don't know that he disliked him even. He just wanted Williams to win, probably.
We worked for Greg Raymer once.
Oh, my God. We did.
I forgot.
We actually worked for Greg Raymer. Like, we coached with him.
Yeah.
In his thing where he hired us to do that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Man.
I was like, oof. Was that 10 years ago?
No.
Might have been.
No, not 10.
7 to 9.
Yeah.
7 to 9.
You know, maybe I shouldn't say this.
Okay, great. But, so you're going to say it anyway because...
But if you're... If you're trapped in an elevator and you could pick who's you're trapped with and the person you're with, all they could do is tell you stories about, you know, their lives or whatever, Greg Raymer wouldn't be the first person I would pick to be in the elevator with me.
Okay.
He wouldn't be in the he's not in my personal top 10.
Okay.
Or 20.
I'm going to let you own that one.
I'm done with
it. I'm not going to chime in.
Yeah. I'm just saying that one thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff on our resume that I forget about.
What else?
I was just reminded by my wife the other day. This only happened a couple of years ago, and this is due to one of the people who might be listening right now. But our book was used as a textbook in a game theory class for advanced math students in Kentucky.
Multiple times.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and then we also called into the class, right? Yeah. And did Q&A with the students. I forgot about that. Multiple times we did that.
Totally forgot about that.
And then we also were interviewed by that guy in China for the archives, that video archives
thing.
Oh,
yeah. I totally forgot about that.
That was crazy.
Yeah. That's not even a thing that the listeners know about, I think.
I mean, I barely know about it. I spent like an hour in the interview with him.
I don't even remember what he was trying to create archives about gambling in the world or something like that.
Games? I don't know.
And he was very adamant in trying to kind of direct us towards saying that there was a noble purpose to the gambling that we were doing. And we were kind of resistant to that.
Really tough to get us to say that.
Yeah.
You know, I would have forgotten, except this was brought up to me, but I had forgotten that we were interviewed also for Oliver's book.
Oh, yeah. Oliver Roeder.
Yeah. Which, you know, we are now in this book as well. And I got that fun text from my friend Matt Matros, who said, "What are you doing in Oliver's book?" Because he's just a fan of Oliver Roeder. And I was like, "Oh, did that come out? And am I in it? Oh, cool.
We should plug the book. Why not? We're talking about
sure.
It's called Seven Games.
Yeah.
It's a history of games and then their cultural impact today is kind of a description of the book.
I would say it's something like that. And we're in it for like a solid three pages, right?
Yeah, we are interviewed along with some of our poker playing friends. About the World Series and what it means to be a poker player. And it is actually a pretty interesting interview by Oliver. I would recommend it.
I still haven't read it.
You read the part about us, though.
I didn't even read that.
You did. I showed
I
it
did?
To you. Yeah.
You sure I read it?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think I even read it. I think I saw that it was there and never got around to reading it.
Huh.
I got to read it at some point, I guess.
I mean, you do know what he said about us. You liked what he said about us.
I was told that he said a cool thing about us, like about us being like a moneyed household that are full of really smart people or something, right?
It's better than that.
Oh, good.
He's talking about his experience playing in the World Series of Poker for the first time. And the reason that we knew Oliver was because my college roommate and our friend Mitchell Towner was in grad school with him. And Oliver wanted to dip his toe in the poker world, and Mitch was his entryway. So he came, he's like, "Oh, I know these guys who do a lot of poker media stuff. They're good for talking to about this stuff." So he came to our poker house in the 2019 summer when we were staying there with Mitch and Robert Brewer. And so he said, after I busted, I drove to the house of four brilliant poker playing friends.
Jeez.
And I was like, that's a nice way to be introduced in a book by a guy who used to work for 538.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty
Thanks,
good.
Oliver.
He used to run the Riddler on 538, which is like high end, like difficult gaming stuff. Super tough.
So that's
smart.
Pretty fucking cool to be introduced that way.
Wow.
And yeah, he referred to us as a moneyed frat house also.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then he went on to explain snippets of the interview we had with him.
I actually have not read this and really should read it at some point. It's been out for like 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you should fucking read it.
Just another thing that happens because we're the poker guys. So cool. Anyway, so we talk about this this hand that confuses and astounds.
And delights.
It really is a confusing hand though, Grant.
Yeah.
Like people might accuse me of hyperbole sometimes in the opening. Would you say?
No.
I wouldn't say that either.
No.
But some people might.
Nobody thinks you're hyperbolic or excitable or anything.
Right. Listen to me now. I'm so chill.
Chill. And you downplay everything.
I'm like a fish.
You're like the Hindenburg. I don't even call that a disaster.
That was just a slight miscue.
Yeah.
That's me.
Right.
I'm like, yeah. Nothing happened.
No, it didn't happen at all. All right, so it's Hustler Casino Live.
Yeah.
It's one of those lineups that I think is majority amateur, which seems to be what Hustler gets most of the time
these days. Is Nick Fertucci playing?
I didn't see him.
Oh, I'm surprised if the lineup's seemingly amateur.
Well, yeah, I guess you can't play every time.
I don't know. I guess not.
It's 100, 200 with a $400 straddle.
Okay.
Hey, this was suggested by Tommy Reynolds.
Cool.
This is actually a suggestion from Twitter, which we haven't done one for a while. He DM'd us his suggestion, which is an option. We're the Poker Guys on Twitter. You can also tweet at us. Or, of course, you can use the link in the description of this podcast to sign up for our Discord server, and you can suggest hands there, along with doing a bunch of other fun shit. It's a good place to be. We'll see you there.
Sure.
All right, 100, 200, 400. JR, who quit poker, is here playing. 270K in front of him. That was as a result of the whole
Robbie J. Lou
thing, right? And he's like, it all feels shady and weird, and I think I have to step away from the game. It's been fun. And then he was back playing like 2 weeks later.
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, he's good for the game, and we're glad to... He seems like a nice guy, and we're glad to have him in the poker atmosphere, so I'm glad he's here playing.
You know who we haven't seen since the Robbie J. Lou thing?
Garrett Adelstein.
Not once.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is quite interesting.
It's been a while.
Yeah. He's really hanging on to that. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Has it been 8 months now or something? 6 months?
I think at least 6 months.
Yeah, wow. Anyway, JR has $270,000 in front of him at 100, 200, 400.
Okay.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
That's a lot. He opens to 1,200 from plus two with King of Hearts, 10 of Spades. It's a little loosey-goosey, but that's how the game plays.
Yeah.
Mike X, who sounds like a soft drink brand from 2004, just because, you know, anything with an X is like 2004 brand. You know what I'm saying, man?
Absolutely, man.
They were all about extreme stuff then.
Right.
You know?
And they had like the commercials where I was like, extreme!
Yeah, they
like
were always doing that.
Mountain Dew extreme!
Yeah. Mountain Dew is the king of extreme.
Yeah, it's true.
They have alcoholic Mountain Dew now. So
really?
That's great for everybody. 132K in front of Mike X.
Yeah.
He calls in the hijack with ace 10 of diamonds. He's going to be a garbage human.
But that's fine.
Introducing another garbage human. Henry has 200K on the button. He calls with 8-6 of spades. Don't care about him. Stanley. We care about Stanley.
Yes.
Has 170K in the big blind, so he's contributed 200 to the pot so far. 10 of hearts, 7 of hearts. He makes the call.
Fine.
In the third blind, or the straddle, is Mars, who has 130K. I've never seen Mars before. Don't know who he is. He has jack 8 of hearts. He matters a little bit.
Yep.
Say a little bit.
Sure.
He's going to make the call.
Okay.
So the hands of importance are Mars with jack 8 of hearts, Stanley with 10-7 of hearts, and JR with king 10.
Okay.
$6,300 in the pot. King of diamonds, 6 of hearts, 3 of hearts. So we got 2 hearts and we got a king. You can see why those hands are the important hands.
Yes, I can see that, Grant.
Stanley, who is the one with 10-7 of hearts, checks. Mars, who is the one with jack 8 of hearts, checks.
Okay.
Any argument for either of them to lead out of the blinds in this 5-player field?
I mean, you could do it. This isn't really the board to do it on this king high board so much, I don't think, into a 5-player field. I think they're both playing either check call or check raise. I think that's fine. I don't have a strong argument to lead here. Do you?
No. What if one of them had the nut flush draw? Would you lead more likely with that than with non-nut flush draws?
Interesting question.
Just because you're kind of bulletproof, you know?
You are kind of, although we're so deep, right? It feels like a little bit more bullety again.
There's more bullets.
Maybe
they have those poison tip ones that can get you.
That's a real problem these days. Poison tip bullets.
Yeah, I hate
that.
That's
the worst.
I hate it when my enemies have that.
They dip them in arsenic and then they shoot you with them through the head. And you're like, no, I'm going to die of poison now.
I could have made it if it weren't for the arsenic. Those bastards.
Yeah.
So anyway, arsenic tipped or not.
Right. I guess you could make the argument that you're a little bit that you have a little more leeway there, but I think mostly you probably want to be checking on a king high board. You're mostly checking all your flush draws, and you can still raise if someone bets.
Yeah,
if no one bets, you can bet the turn.
All right, they both check.
Okay,
what do you think JR should do with king 10? He does have the king of hearts on king 6-3. He got called in 4 spots.
We're betting.
Yeah, just got to thin the field
exactly.
At the very least,
we're gonna deal with like we don't have to have the best hand. We might get raised. We have to figure all that out later. But the first thing is you can't let everyone see a turn card, period. Yeah. There's just any card could kill you. You're not going to know where you are. It's a wet enough board 5 ways. You just have to bet.
How much? 6,300 in the pot.
I don't think we need to go crazy big because like draws are staying around anyway.
Yep.
We just want to thin the field to some degree and start to define things.
We want to get rid of the really
right?
speculative hands, like the 2 backdoor draw type hands.
Yeah, like we also don't want like, you know, ace 10, for example, to be able to just stick around and turn an ace just because it was easy to, right? So, I don't know, half pot-ish, something like that sounds about right.
I was thinking 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
JR goes really small. He bets 1,500.
Huh. That's weird.
Less than a quarter of the pot.
I'm not a huge fan of that because actually they're deep enough that... You might get, maybe you're going to follow the random aces, but like gut shots are going to
right, like
4 now.
7 is going to call with no backdoor flush draw. Now,
yeah.
Which you don't want that type of stuff to stick around.
Maybe 4 7 calls for 3,000 also. People call it their gutters now.
Maybe.
But I feel like it's not, it's less of a mistake, or maybe mistake's the wrong word. It's so cheap. You're making it really easy for these hands to make these calls. I don't like that.
Right. We have a vulnerable hand. Yeah. Let's thin it, thin the field from at least the non-obvious stuff, right? Let's only be against the obvious stuff.
Right.
That would be great. But this leads to Mike X calling with ace 10 of diamonds. Now, maybe he would have called anyway. He does have two back doors with a nut back doors.
I think he is calling anyway.
But he's in the worst position because he's next to act after JR. If JR makes it, we suggested half pot. If you bet 4K with three players behind, are you really calling with ace 10 of diamonds as Mike X?
It's really hard to.
Yeah.
Really, really hard to.
You want to.
You shouldn't.
That king of diamonds.
Mike X, not a big folder in general. I will say that.
Maybe he would have.
Yeah, but that's good. That's a reason to bet more, right? You charge him for this too. If he's going to call, great. Let's make him pay for it instead of like paying almost nothing.
That king of diamonds is a real siren song for the ace 10 of diamonds. It's a really nice card.
Yeah. That it's
was
like that.
Surprisingly beautiful.
Thank you. I was kind of happy with that too.
I had one of those emotional reactions you get like to when you hear like a good song, you know, when it just hits you in the right place at the right time and you get like the little fluttery feeling.
You know what? That
was it.
That happened to me when I was living in Boston in the year 2000 when I had Moby's Play album going.
Yeah.
And My Weakness came on, which is the, you know, which one that is me, now me, wow. It's really good.
Okay.
It's just that. Anyway, it was going in the background. I had listened to the album, but I never really closely listened to it. And I was like reading a book while it was on. And in the middle of My Weakness, I just put the book down because it was like hitting me so hard, the song. And I was like, and every time it like went, if you know the song, like it like repeats the same thing, but it gets like a little bit higher and a little bit deeper and a little this and a little that. Like every time it like hit me and it like, wow. And then I listened to the song a lot more. It was fucking great.
But you could never find that initial high. You chase the dragon for the rest of your life, but you can never find it.
Yeah. It's true. You can never get
that.
That
is kind
back.
Of what music listening is, in a way, right? Like you hear a song sometimes, and you're like, "I like this song. I'm going to download this song," and that's going to be part of like the rotation, right?
Yep.
But you never get back there to that first time when you realize you like this song.
Sometimes it isn't the first time for me. It can be the first like.
Okay, I agree.
20 times or whatever.
Whenever
but there's a point,
whenever
where
it first hits you, is like,
you
"Oh,
use
this
it
is
up.
This is one of those songs that I like."
Yeah.
You know, and then even the next time after that time that you realize is not as good as that time. It's never as good as the time that you realize.
I actually don't always have that experience. I'm going to disagree with you, but
you're wrong though.
But I do have the thing though where I'll get so into a song that I'll listen to it 10 times in a day or 15 times in a day for 4 days in a row, and then I'm not interested in it anymore.
Yeah.
And I like hearing it, but it never holds the same specialness for me after that. I've used it up.
You know how it can be revived if you see it performed live. That can revive it even by a cover band. If
really,
yeah. Yeah, I've had that experience.
Interesting.
Where it revives a song that was like, I know I like this song, but I've heard it so many times, it's dead to me.
Right.
But then you hear that first riff when you're live, it's like, oh, yeah, play that song.
That's cool. Yeah, I could see that. Are you similar where you'll like download a song and then play it a lot in one day?
Not really. It'll go on. Like I have a playlist of, there's no real theme to the playlist. It's not like a specific type of music or anything. It's just the songs that I like for the past X amount of time, and sometimes I delete older ones from it. But and so I always have that as like every once in a while, that's the playlist I'll put on when I'm driving or whatever. So through that process, I end up listening to the same songs a lot until I get bored of them.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's different. Yeah. All right. Let's get back to the game.
Yeah. The analysis begins at people are a little upset now. Sorry.
Yeah.
We had a big.
You did get to hear that incredible musical thing.
That
I did,
it
though.
Was worth it. It was worth it.
That all was right. incredible. That was like. In Halo.
It was like Halo. So anyway, JR did bet less than a quarter of the pot with top pair on the King 6-3 board with two hearts. He's got the King of Hearts.
Yeah.
Mike X called with ace 10 of diamonds with the backdoor royal draw. Henry has 8-6 of spades. He's going to come along because it's 1,500 to try to hit a second pair of trips or something.
Yeah, sure. 1,500. I think he should probably come along.
All right. Stanley is in the big blind with 10-7 of hearts. What is the action here?
I think either we're never folding. I think a raise is fine. I think a call is fine. Calling when it's this cheap can't be bad.
Yep.
Just can't be. But no one seems super excited about this pot, right? No one seems really into this pot. This is a good opportunity to take it right now. I think I like a raise because of that. Like Henry bets 1,500. He doesn't seem super strong.
Henry calls 1,500.
Sorry. JR.
Yeah.
Like if JR had top set of kings. Five ways with two hearts on the board, would he really bet 1,500? I think usually not.
Maybe, but whatever.
I doubt
it. We're doing okay against top set anyway.
Right. Of course, Topset can put in another raise.
Yeah, that's then, but it's
whatever.
A
so then we fold. So who cares? The fact that no one seems interested in this pot really makes me want to just attack it right now and just win all the loose change out there. And if we get called, we still have equity.
Right. And it would be really too bad to get called by a hand or to call and have a hand like Henry's end up winning in the end, the 8-6, because we didn't put pressure on right now.
Right.
So Stanley is going to raise. He makes it 9K.
I like it.
Yeah, I think the sizing is pretty good too.
This might just work. This might just fold everyone out right now.
Well, what about Mars? He's got the jack high flush draw in the next position. This is a poopy spot.
It's such a bad thing the way this has played out for him already.
Yeah. You
know, like, I mean, we can flat, but we can flat where we're drawing nearly dead.
Right. Like, what if we flat and then JR calls and then we're three ways with the jack high flush draw?
Right.
It's very different than the nut flush draw. We could be dead to those two hands combined.
Right. We would have been happy to be the raiser, but we don't like, especially cold calling this raise when there's other players potentially in the hand too. There could be multiple better flush draws out there. I mean, that's good for us in some ways in that we're less likely to get coolered with it. But like, there's a lot of people who rate to have a better flush draw than us. Everyone is still in this hand. Literally no one's folded. Right.
So do you think the only flush draws that Mars can call with in this scenario are the nut flush draw, the king high flush draw, because it has a pair also, and combo draws?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I do. And combo draws are, I guess you can't fold, but it's
already, not great.
Like, you have the 5-7 of hearts here, and it's like, well,
any heart besides the four is not necessarily
great.
Yeah,
like, I'm looking for fours. Any four is a great card for me. Any four makes me the nuts. Everything else is sort of questionable.
Yeah.
But you probably can't just throw it away. It's probably a little too good.
Right.
Probably.
Maybe that's a raise. I don't know. A three.
Oh, maybe.
Although it's scary. Stanley could definitely have a set.
But okay, you'd rather have him, I think, have a set than like the ace 10 of hearts,
yeah,
right?
Probably. Anyway, Mars ends up folding the jack 8 of hearts, which is a great result for Stanley's play here.
Incredible result.
He gets the 10 high flush draw to be the only flush draw left in the hand.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I like it. I like the raise. I like the fold.
I do too. I think both flush draws played it well so far. All right. How about JR? Now he got raised. This is a pretty strong raise considering that you bet into a field of five players. The difference that makes it a little bit less strong than it would normally be is what the initial sizing was.
Exactly. If we bet 3,500 and this raise comes, I think we can five ways. I think we can just fold.
Yeah.
With all these people behind us too.
Right.
Like once in a while, someone's still playing a set or something like that.
Well, Mike X is the only player behind.
Oh,
no, Henry
point,
is. No, Henry
oh, yeah,
is
Henry too.
Too
right. Yeah. Like one of these guys could have a set and been still playing it. It's totally
possible.
I can understand why we might feel like we have to call, especially with the King of Hearts in our hand, right?
Yeah.
Of course, the King of Hearts doesn't block some flush draws, but there's a King on the board anyway.
Right. I don't think the King X of Hearts is necessarily raising.
I think it's fine to call here. I think the problem is that we're behind a lot.
Yeah, that's always a problem.
Like what's raising us here? It's either a strong draw or it's a hand that's beating us. That's it, right? Like, I don't think we would assume very often anyway that Stanley's taking like middle pair and turning it into a bluff.
Right, if Stanley's getting a little bit depolarized with his flop raises, it's probably not such that King 10 is ahead. Maybe Ace King could be ahead.
Right.
Because Stanley might have King Queen, but I don't think Stanley's going to raise King 7.
I mean, look, the one case you could make for Stanley having a worse king is that it's a $1,500 bet and all we had were calls and everyone looks kind of weak. And he's like, I'm not just going to let everyone see a turn this cheap when I have top pair. So it's at least, we might be ahead of a little bit of his value range, maybe. That's the best I can do, though. We're not doing good equity-wise here. At the same point, we do have the King of Hearts, which is not a bad card to have.
Yeah, it could bail us out. It could bail us out.
I think we probably are supposed to call because we bet 1,500.
Yeah, that's why the small sizing thing is just like, it makes everything weird and brackish, you know? It's tough to deal with.
Wow, I can't believe you found a way to work that word in here.
Yeah, we had
it kind of works.
Yeah.
Kind of works. And I would love to challenge you on what the definition of brackish is, but I know you know it because I just read it to you before we started.
But we're not going to tell the audience. That's for you to find out on your own.
Yeah. If you know it, though, you do get a bonus. There's a prize for you.
Yep. Which you will only know if you know it.
Right. And if you don't know it, you'll never know what the prize is. And that works for everybody.
You have to know the exact definition.
And if you get the definition wrong, even a little bit, you don't get the prize.
There is a penalty.
You won't know what the prize was, and it'll seem like we were just talking.
Yep. And there's a penalty. Which will be extracted at some point in the future.
Yeah, someone will come to you.
Yeah. You'll not know when.
But when it happens, you'd be like, oh, this is...
Yeah, this is my comeuppance. I've become what I beheld. Anyway, JR ends up calling.
Yeah, okay.
I get it with the sizing thing. This is why I wouldn't want to size it like this initially, because it puts you in weird spots mentally. But maybe JR is used to this. Maybe he sizes like this all the time. I don't know.
I don't know.
Mike X folds, Henry folds, we're heads up.
Okay. I mean, it's not a terrible outcome from JR for JR that the two other guys fold, at least. Now we're like being heads up has got to be better for him equity wise, right?
Oh, yeah, with this type of hand, for sure.
Yeah, so that part's good. Now, if he's beating a draw, cool.
Yep. You know what else is cool? Nitro betting's cool.
Yeah.
Everybody who's cool talks about nitro betting. Name a cool person. Akon, talking about nitro betting.
Akon? Oh, yeah. A-K-O-N.
Akon. Yeah, Akon from like 2008, that guy.
Sure.
Justin Timberlake.
What about Lil Wayne?
Lil Wayne's talking about nitro betting.
Okay.
I'm of course, surmising this through tea leaves and such. I don't actually have any evidence of this. I'm just telling
you. No, it's fine.
The type of cool person who's talking about nitro betting.
Anna Kendrick?
Oh, no. Not cool enough.
I was wondering where you were going to slot her in.
Have you seen Up in the Air? That's not a cool person.
That's her playing
like
a non-cool
person. She's like
person.
A bureaucrat.
Didn't you see 50-50?
No.
Really?
And I refuse
to. It's good.
Actually, no, I saw 50-50. It's good. It is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rogen, talking about nitro betting. Speaking of 50-50.
JGL.
JGL. Not as cool as Seth Rogen, but talking about nitro betting.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else is talking about it? It doesn't matter. You're not cool enough to know unless you use the link in the description when you sign up. That gets you access to the monthly Poker Guys tournament. It gets you access to cool sports betting promotions that happen every once in a while. You'll just, you know, get excited when that happens. It's good. You'll like it.
Don't make a thing out of it, though.
Don't make a thing out of it. You don't want to go around bragging about all of your riches because you signed up for Nitro Betting using the link in the description. They also have casino games. Of course, there's, you know, the normal poker room. You get on there. You have some funny sports bet. You enjoy your life with Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne.
And others.
Isn't that Lil Wayne?
Lil Wayne.
Lil
Wayne.
L-I-L. It's Lil.
Lil Wayne with Lil Wayne on Nitro Betting. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Who else is on there?
Matt Damon.
That's good. Like Matt Damon from The Martian, where he's all witty about everything.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to science the shit out of this.
Yeah, he's all witty. He's like, I'm alone, but I'm cool.
I'm going to grow some potatoes.
That's you, now that you use the link in the description.
Yeah. That's a great movie. All right.
It's a great book, too. All right. $27,300 in the pot. We are heads up. There has been a raise on the flop from Stanley with the 10-7 of hearts. JR called with the king 10 with the king of hearts on king 6-3 with two hearts. 27,300 in the pot. The turn is certainly a spicy one, as any heart would be. It is the ace of hearts, which makes it a little bit extra spicy because it doesn't just give JR a flush draw. It gives JR the nut flush draw.
Hello, Dolly.
The only card that can do that.
Yeah.
So Stanley is thrilled. He has made the flush.
Yes.
27,300 in the pot. How much are you betting as Stanley?
I don't think we need to bet a huge amount here. Like, it doesn't feel like we're up against a set very often, right? We could be up against ace-king, I guess. There's not a huge amount of equity against us, is what I'm trying to say, often, right?
Or we could be drawing dead, you know, against us.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But I don't think we need to bet monstrously big. If there's 27,300 in the pot, I think we bet like 14,000.
You're looking at this only from an equity denial perspective. It's weird. Like, everything you said was related to denying equity. What about for value? Like, do you want to bet more sometimes in case he has a big hand?
What big hands can he have?
Except
for ace king.
Ace ace.
That's a hand he can have. I couldn't think of big hands except for ace king, which I did mention. But ace ace is another hand he could have, right?
Yeah.
That's it, though, right?
Maybe some king king. Maybe he.
Very little king king.
But some.
Not too much.
Yeah.
Especially with two guys behind him who had called, he's almost always putting in a three bet on the flop.
That's true. It's mostly ace, ace, and ace, king.
Yeah. So there's, you know, three combos of ace, ace, and there's nine combos of ace, king, and then there's like king, queen, and other kings, and I don't know what else, actually.
So I guess the question I would ask then is, should we try to price in those other kings, or should we just focus on the big hands that we can actually get big value from?
I think we should size up. Fuck trying to get value out of the kings that may find folds anyway.
Right.
Right. If he's got ace king or ace ace, he has to call. Essentially has to, right?
Right.
And he has outs too, and he's going to know that, which is why he's going to feel forced to call. Let's make those hands pay through the nose. And also that way we're not denying equity, but we're charging the hell out of that equity.
By the way, any of those combos that have the king of hearts that are the weaker kings, like JR's hand actually is, the king 10 with the king of hearts is what he has.
They're going
to
stick around.
They have to stick around.
That's a great point. Oh, let's size up.
Yeah, it's much better to size up.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad we talked this through.
So Stanley makes a mistake,
okay,
in our opinion, because he bets 12K in a 27-3.
Well, I would have probably, before we had this talk, I probably would have bet 14, so I would have made a similar mistake.
I think like 22,500.
Yes. It's a normal size up turn spot, as it turns out, right? Yeah. For all, we lose a few kings, which we're going to fold anyway when
right,
the
like
comes.
King Jack of Spades is not going to stick around for 12K anyway.
Right.
So we might as well target the hands that can call.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he should have bet 22,000 or something like that.
Yep. Maybe even 25.
Yeah, maybe. I wonder if JR would have done the same thing had Stanley bet more. Stanley bets 12K. JR is going to raise to 35K.
Yeah.
Teach me about this one, Levy.
Okay.
What's going on here?
He's definitely bluffing. Let's be clear.
With equity against everything, of course.
Of course. I think without the King of Hearts, he's not doing it. And by the way, with the Ace of Hearts on the board is part of it, right?
Well, yeah, if it were the Four of Hearts.
Right. I don't think he does it.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing it.
But he knows that Stanley cannot have the nuts. That's pretty good. And also, this sizing makes it look like maybe Stanley's a little bit afraid of the Ace of Hearts for some reason, right?
Yeah.
And that could be that Stanley had a king, like king, queen, and
or
was protecting. Or a set, right? But whatever it is, he's afraid, and let's make his life hard rather than not. We're also in position against him, which means with this raise, we can check back if we want on rivers if he calls, right? We don't have to put in more money.
Yeah, which is like a give up. Unless a heart comes, we're pretty much always losing.
We might decide to give up.
Yeah.
But we have that option if we want to. We're certainly always losing if he doesn't fold. It's also hard to really imagine him. I mean, he's probably calling with a lot of stuff, but he could have slightly better kings and fold them sometimes.
You think he's betting the turn with king queen?
That's a great question. Maybe not. King queen with the queen of hearts.
Maybe that one. Yeah.
But that's about it. You're right. Yeah. King jack with the jack of hearts. Like that's as far as we get. And he might be checking those anyway.
He might be.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think this is a perfectly cool and good raise because we're sort of pouncing on sizing, similar to the way Stanley may have been doing on the flop. We're now doing it. The thing is, Stanley loves his hand.
Well, yeah.
Unlike JR, who was like, well, five ways, this hand's okay.
Well, the good thing for JR is that Stanley can't raise unless he's just a maniac, right?
Right.
Like, unless there's no hand he can raise with.
That's
really
nice.
You can't raise the queen high flush here.
I mean, yeah, we're way too deep to even consider something like that, right? Stanley, how much does Stanley have? 170K he starts the hand with. Jeez. Yeah, you can't do that.
Right.
I think it's a clear, I mean, he has a very clear call, I would say. Well, we can talk about that, I guess.
I mean, that part of this hand is super cool for JR in this very spot. Unless Stanley is really understanding something about JR or is a maniac, he is not going to be raising this bet. Just because we know he can't have the nuts, and JR obviously can have the nuts.
I mean, I think there's a few scenarios where maybe he could without the nuts. He could have the second nuts and be targeting worse flushes that raised on the turn. I think those things are possible.
Would you really ever do that?
It when you're this deep, I wouldn't. I think there are players who would.
Okay, but there was a raise on the flop also. It strengthens all ranges.
Uh-huh. So, I understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, like if JR had the queen high flush and Stanley had the king high flush here. Sorry, the other way around. JR had a good flush, JR made his flush on the turn.
Yeah.
It's not a great flush. He decides to raise, especially against the small sizing, to charge the sets.
Yeah.
Stanley's got the second nut flush, but not the nuts.
Yeah.
And he knows JR's the kind of guy who's always raising all his flushes here. He might say, let's get it in right now.
Do you think JR is calling with the jack high flush?
I think a lot of people are. I don't know if JR is. I think... You assume because you aren't that you assume maybe these types of players aren't either. And I think a lot of them are I was just saying to you before when you first came in today to my place that I was watching a hand on Hustler Casino Live and they're playing whatever they're 100, 200 and a guy raised under the gun with Jack nine off to $500. There was a three bet to 3000, which he called. The flop was four deuce deuce with two hearts. They were three handed. He called a $3,000 bet on the flop, which was then raised to $10,000, and then he moved in for $52,000 with Jack 9 off, just nothing going on, no hearts, no nothing, and got stacked. people do really strange things for no obvious reasons.
That's fair.
Even at these stakes. So I just want to say, I don't know that the deeper they are, definitely the less likely they are to go nuts with less than a nut flush here. I agree with that. But that doesn't mean to say they definitely aren't.
Okay, fair. I wouldn't expect Stanley to be able to raise very often as JR when I have the King of Hearts.
I agree with you.
So that part is nice about the race.
Yep.
I'm saying. And it is an immediately somewhat uncomfortable spot for Stanley as well, which is, you know, a good result for JR in a way. That's a slight win. You know, making your opponent uncomfortable is probably a good thing in poker in general.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can't fold the 10-9 flush right now against a guy who's capable of stuff, but it's not great. It's not a great spot when he raises once you've already raised the flop and then bet when the heart came.
Yeah.
That's not ideal.
Agreed.
JR mostly has better than the 10-9 flush when he opened plus two if he has a flush.
Yes, that's correct. Mostly.
And a lot of the lower flush cards are already taken by the mm-hmm. board. So, yeah, Stanley calls, but it's a little scary, right?
Yeah. Agreed.
97,300 in the pot.
It's always scary when someone raises and you don't have the nuts, basically. You know, if
it is, but there is
at least the effective nuts. There's, you don't have the effective nuts.
There's more stark scenarios and less stark scenarios mm-hmm. with that. And this is a pretty stark scenario.
Yep.
King of spades on the river appears the king.
Okay.
Interesting card.
Really interesting card. JR. He's like, huh.
Yeah.
What does that do for me?
King of diamonds, six of hearts, three of hearts, ace of hearts, king of spades. JR makes trips with king 10 with the king of hearts. Stanley still has the 10 high flush.
Yeah.
Stanley checks. I don't see anything else that he could ever do on any river, actually, with his hand.
Agreed.
Which is another nice thing for JR's play on the turn.
Yep.
All right. What are you doing as JR, and with it, what is your intention?
Okay, I think the first thing we need to figure out is, do we think we're ahead or behind? Forget about what we're, you know, like, should we even bet or check? Like, do we think we're ahead or behind?
I can't imagine a world where we're ahead. Part of why we did this hand, we were going to do this hand no matter what, but when I started watching this hand, as it was suggested by Tommy Reynolds, Jonathan and I started talking about it because, you know, we're just shooting the shit, I realized we were doing a breakdown as we were just talking about the hand because it was so interesting what was going on.
Yeah, that's true.
And part of what we discovered was, like, I can't imagine a hand that Stanley has that is weaker than King 10 here that gets here.
Stanley would have to be super sticky with, like, a weird aces up that decided to raise the flop because everything was so cheap.
It would have, like, to be ace 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, like, so unlikely.
It seems pretty unlikely. And then he has to call the raise on the turn when the heart comes. What's he supposed to be beating now? Like, this hand, I guess, that we have right here. But that's, like, it. It seems very unlikely. Also, and then it would have to call the river, by the way, when the king pairs. How can we bet for value against a worse hand?
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to imagine.
Because otherwise Stanley has, if he doesn't have a flush, he has a full house a lot of the time. He has sixes full or something, right?
Right.
Which would make total sense with this line. I mean, he might check the turn sometimes with that, but it feels like 12K could be like a trying to control the pot and see the river type thing with a set.
I mean, it really, if I had to guess, based on Stanley's action so far, it feels more like he has a full house than a flush, right? Raising the flop. He's going to call a lot. Like, he's going to raise almost all his sets.
Yeah.
Especially out of position five ways. He's going to raise some of his flush draws, but not all of them.
Right.
He just calls the turn when raised. Now, I agree with you that maybe he's doing that with all his flushes, too. But, like, you know, like, there's at least a chance maybe he'll, like, keep going with the flush. He's never doing anything but calling with a set, right? Like, on the turn.
Yeah.
100% of the time, it's undoubtable.
Right.
So, like, I think he rates to have, like, a full house. He's more likely to have a full house than a flush just in terms of, like, normal weightings of it. I think based on his actions, I would say, like, it feels more full housey.
At least JR blocks some of Stanley's potential full houses. He could play King 6 or King 3 like this.
I mean, King 6 or King 3.
Yeah.
He wasn't even in, he was in the big blind, not even the straddle. He called the raise pre-flop.
You just lectured me about how people in the games play all spewy.
But it's not, like, 6-6 makes way more sense than King 6 or King 3, right? 3-3 makes way more sense.
Way more sense to never raise the non-nut flush on the turn than to do it.
He didn't do it.
Right. I know.
So what are you talking about?
What I'm saying is your argument is no different than mine, and you're acting like it's special.
Oh, I see. I'm saying, though, of course you're right that it's possible. I'm saying, though, it's much, much, much more likely that pocket sixes or pocket threes would be the full house.
So you don't think having...
I don't think a king matters that much.
You don't
much.
Think a king is a relevant blocker except that it's a heart?
I think so. It must be slightly relevant because you're right. King six suited might be there.
Yeah.
But like ace king can't be there.
Pretty much, yeah.
King six suited, king three suited, pretty unlikely, but maybe. So it helps a little bit. The heart helps too.
Yeah.
It's a weird spot to have a hand this good and have it be like, it's probably no good. And if it's no good, should we try and get a better hand to fold?
That's a great question because JR does bet. And we need to discover the intention because he bets 75K and a 97K. And Hustler Casino titled this a massive bluff.
I've already gone back and forth several times on whether I think it's a bluff or not.
No, I think they titled it that way because JR has a worse hand than Stanley.
Right.
And for no other reason, because I don't know if they know what the intention is either.
I don't know if JR knows what the intention is on this bet because I can't think of a great reason to bet here.
Neither can I.
Like, here's why. If Stanley has a flush, which he has. Okay, well, if Stanley has a full house, he's never going to fucking fold, and this is a terrible bet.
Right.
So we can't target that. If Stanley has a flush, what is our story exactly that we raise the turn, and now when the board pairs and Stanley has full houses, we're now betting big? It's a weird story to tell. We'd have the nut flush.
We have the king high flush.
That's all we can have,
really. Emboldened because we block some full houses.
Yeah. Maybe we can even have the second nut flush, too, because we didn't get re-raised.
We can also have ace-king or ace-ace.
Yes, we can have that. That's true.
So that story is fine with me.
Except, no, we can't. We raised ace-ace on the turn.
Ah, yeah.
And ace-king on the turn. When the heart comes after he raised on the flop, no, we
probably
didn't.
Not. Maybe we raise ace-king with the king of hearts just because we want
Why?
To.
I mean, okay. I mean, we're establishing, I did this first, so I can't hit you hard for this. But like, we're establishing anything's possible to some degree with some of these players. So true, but it seems very, very unlikely, right? Once again, like a very unlikely play.
He did raise king 10 with the king of hearts.
He did, but that's because he was bluffing. Ace-king, yeah. Is ace-king a bluff?
I don't know.
Right.
What's this bet?
Yeah, I don't know.
See?
I feel like JR doesn't know what to do with this hand, and so he bets 75,000 because he doesn't know what to do. And he doesn't want to check call, but he's afraid he may have to, but he's always losing, but he's not really sure what's going on.
I think JR's move is to check fold. And,
yeah.
And realize that he's almost always behind. I think actually what would happen, had JR not bet, is they would go check, and Stanley would win.
Well, JR's in position, right? So
oh, you're right.
He wouldn't even be, so he can just check it back.
Yeah, that's I was misreading the positions for a second.
Maybe because Stanley doesn't lead the river, JR thinks a little bit more like he's up against flushes than full houses.
Why would he lead the river? JR raised the turn.
Right. If JR has it, he's betting again, right? If he's got the nut flush or whatever, he's going to bet again.
Yeah.
That's true. Even if the board paired, for sure. Right?
Yeah, the nut flush, for sure, he's betting. I think he's checking back the queen high flush. Probably.
Okay.
So he's repping the nut flush. That's basically it.
I mean, he can have the queen high flush. I think he can absolutely have the queen high flush. You don't have to have the nuts only when you bet the river.
But he doesn't have a weaker flush than the 10 high flush for value.
Would be surprising, especially when the board pairs. That's very, very, very surprising.
And the king high flush has a lot more value than the queen high flush in this scenario because of the blocking of the full houses.
Because even though I hate it, there's got to be at least a few king sixes.
Yeah.
And maybe even king threes in there. Okay.
Yeah. So Hustler calls it a bluff. We can't think of a hand that JR can beat that Stanley would play this way, so maybe it is a bluff.
I mean, can it ever be value? It doesn't. Like, value means you're targeting king nine with the nine of hearts, right?
Yeah.
That's the only hand in the world you can target, I think.
I don't think it can be value.
Right. Because I don't think that could ever really be there.
Yeah. So I think this is a bluff, whether or not that's what JR meant it to be.
Right. I honestly feel like JR just had no clue what to do here.
Maybe.
And like his head got all swirly and he bet 75.
It feels like a pretty clear check back, unless it's possible we're not giving JR enough credit.
Okay.
And he did recognize that Stanley is always beating him, on top of assuming that if Stanley made a full house on the river, he would lead to try to avoid a check back.
But you have to get a fold from Stanley when Stanley is always beating you with your trip kings, which means Stanley always has at least a flush. How are you going to get a fold out of a
flush?
Because
he's going to fold the flushes, and the full houses are leading to make sure that JR doesn't check back with a flush.
So every time Stanley checks, he has a flush, and he's always going to fold.
Yes. That's my thought.
Okay.
No, it's not really what I think.
Maybe JR is thinking some weird, slight version of that, maybe.
Stanley does fold. So
I mean, what the hell?
Should he?
I don't know that he should. I don't think he should. Here's why. When we get raised on the turn and we decide to call.
Yeah.
Right? I understand why we call. I think we have to call. Let me be clear. We're calling for a few reasons, right? We're calling because we can still be ahead, right? Yeah. And what are we ahead of? Well, we're ahead of the King of Hearts.
Yep.
And potentially the Queen of Hearts, I guess. Some singular heart, right? Some big singular heart we're ahead of. The board pairs on the river, and we check, and there's a big bet goes in. As we were saying, like there's some hands that just aren't going to bet now, even that are beating us. Like the jack, we have the 10 high flush, right? The jack high flush, for example, yeah. I don't think is betting. The queen high flush, I was arguing probably can bet here. You were thinking maybe not.
I don't know if it's doing it or not.
It's unclear.
Yeah.
The king high flush, I think, is going to bet. The nut flush is going to bet.
Yeah.
For sure. The next one down is close-ish, maybe leans towards a bet. That's it. Like, full houses don't really exist, I don't think, in JR's range.
Well, maybe Stanley talked himself into that they could.
I think he did. I think that's why he folds.
And I think this is kind of like what you said to me earlier and what you say to me sometimes, is I don't think you would ever play what is now a full house the way that JR played this hand, but maybe JR would.
It's so hard for me to believe after getting raised on the flop, he's going to raise the turn with like ace, king, or ace, ace. It's just so hard to imagine.
Might be pouncing on sizing. He's like, my sizing was small, so he raised the flop, and then his sizing on the turn is small, so I'm gonna guess that means he doesn't always have super strong hands, you know.
I mean, it's weird because in some ways, if we call the turn, unless JR really can have full houses on the river, which even if he can have a little bit, he can't have that many full houses. He's got to have very few full houses, right?
Yeah.
If we call the turn, nothing really changes from turn to river except JR bets again and the board pairs, so maybe we're losing, I guess, to ace-ace if somehow it can be there, which seems impossible to me, but maybe I'm wrong. Like, things don't really change.
Well,
except JR bets $75,000. That's what changes, right?
It is. Okay, I think I have a defense of Stanley's fold, actually.
Great.
I do think that JR will play the nut flush like this throughout.
Okay.
And I think his King X of Hearts probably goes pretty low if he's opening King 10 off. It might go down to like King 5 of Hearts.
Oh, maybe.
So a reasonable number of combos of King X of Hearts.
Okay.
Right. The other hand that makes sense to get here this way, if we're not giving full houses the chance to get here, is King X with the King of Hearts. Right. And Stanley may think, rightly so, that there would be no point in betting that on the river.
Yes.
So if we got to the river with that hand, which
that's a good point.
Makes sense as a bluff on the turn.
How can you bet that?
Why would you bet at the river when another king comes? Yeah. I understand if the board didn't pair, why you would do it, because you're just repping the nuts and it's just a pure bluff at that point. But maybe now somehow you have a little bit of showdown value. Now, it seems to me that JR either doesn't know what to do or is treating it the same as if the king didn't pair. And he was planning on doing this whether or not a heart came, as a bluff or as value.
He's betting no matter what.
With the recognition that he's likely behind everything if the heart doesn't come.
This is interesting. I like this. This makes sense to me. Stanley's sitting there thinking like, I mean, how can he try and bluff me with the King of Hearts? First of all, he's tripped kings. Second of all, obviously I'm calling.
Yeah.
So he can't really have that. So then he should have me beat.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So JR just doing something that doesn't seemingly make sense is going to really work for him this time.
Yep. Stanley folds.
That sucks for Stanley.
The rich get richer.
Yeah.
Unless, I don't know, maybe JR had all his money in Silicon Valley Bank. Had to get a topical reference in there.
Dude, that's really powerful.
I did it. Music is my sunlight, and all I need is one mic. And I can show every single MC how it's done right. Every time I come by, I'm bound to leave them tongue-tied. I'm sipping on liquor, a quitter is what I'm not. We got one life, and I took a minor break, but I'm back to claim the throne. I'm gonna be traveling the globe, we still have time to make it.